Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jenna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. Good morning and welcome back to Happy Hour here with Jenna Spilbor and Carol Pesci and myself. I am Frankenberry. Yes, thank you. Before you poked me in the eye with that pen, I said my own name. And we're back.
Yeah, because a lot of times you don't. And we're you matter.
Thank you. Frankenberry lives matter. I'm going to get a t-shirt.
Oh, boy. And give out pink monster stickers.
Yeah, something like that. I'm sure we could figure something out. And why are you looking at me like she wanted to poke me in the eye earlier? Now, what are you doing? You're just giving me like an evil eye.
No, I had a fantastic segue based on you saying Frankenberry lives matter and being thankful and all that stuff, because what I wanted to talk about today was how I nearly died.
For those of you that may be new to the show, Jenna has never ever, this is Carol and I are both dumbfounded right now. We're completely astounded because we have never ever actually heard something like that come out of Jenna's mouth.
Her exaggerate?
She never does. And there's never any kind of health thing that pops up. She never has, a brain tumor, or she never has, an incurable disease.
AKA pimple.
Yeah.
On
never.
The
anything.
Side but, of her head that
so
is going to kill her.
What is it now this time?
I'm sorry, are you guys done making fun of me almost losing my life?
Okay, so how old was the young child who broke out a barrel of adrenaline and lifted a car off you? How old?
Funny you should say car, because I got ran over by one. A week ago.
Well, you look really good for someone who just recently got
run over by a car. Thank you.
Yeah, I see no tire marks, nothing. No tread.
Did they break your other toe?
No, they did. All right, so I'll tell you how I almost died, and then I want to give thanks, and we probably should give Vive Clico a free sponsorship to this program, because Vive Clico saved my life.
Is that how you say it?
I'm not sure. It's either Vive or Vouve or Vouve or Clico or Clique. I don't know.
Champagne. Oh, no.
Champagne.
Champagne with the orange label.
Champs. If you're a housewife like I aspire to be. God. All right, so I got run over, and listen, it was really, really, they say that your life flashes before your eyes when you're about to bite the farm?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that didn't happen to me, but I almost did bite the farm, and here's what happened. I was minding my own business, coming from the hairstylist, and what saved my life was I made a stop to buy some champagne.
Mm-hmm.
Beebe, Booby, Clico, Cliquey. Okay.
It's my favorite, by the way.
And I was overloaded with several bottles because I was having a party the next day. Anyway, I am standing on a curb waiting to cross a busy street when all of a sudden I feel on my right side, on the side where all the champagne bottles are, I feel a heavy shove.
Were you on the sidewalk?
On the sidewalk. I feel a heavy shove. Now, I feel a heavy shove, and I kind of step away and simultaneously look to see, what is this heavy shove? Initially I thought rude person, right? Bumping into me or something. Turns out it was an SUV backing up with its butt end going up, like the wheels are curved such that the butt end of this SUV is now
hanging over the curb.
Hanging over
the
curb.
Tire's still in the street, but the butt end, okay.
So when
you got hit by the butt end.
I got run over by
run
a tank.
Over?
By a tank. So now, fortunately, I get my wits about me. Having been run, like, I've never been run over before. I don't recommend it. But fortunately, I didn't drop any of my packages. My hair was still looking good.
Which is why the driver survived, because your hair looked good and you were in a relatively good mood.
But I got to tell you something, what I learned from my near-death experience. So, as they say, your life flashes before your eyes when you're about to bite it. That did not happen.
Did you see Carol and I?
But if my life did flash before my eyes, you guys definitely would have been in there.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
But that didn't happen. But what did happen, and maybe I should write a book about this because they don't talk about it quite a lot, is when you're about to die because you're getting run over, you get very, very angry at the person who's about to end your life. So now, all of a sudden, I'm standing there. I'm getting run over by this car.
Just pause for a second. I can't imagine what's going to happen next, because if someone who is driving you somewhere takes a certain mild alternate route than what you think they should take, you get angry. So I can't imagine what's going to happen to this driver
who's running me over,
softly brushed against you. But go. Carry on.
As I was getting run over, I got very, very angry, and I now jump off the curb and I run over to the driver's side window, which is not that far from me. Why? Because
nor smart.
Because I was being run over by this 5,000-pound killing machine. And with my one free hand, which was my left hand, as all of the Vivi Kluki was in my right, I pound on the driver's window.
Jonas,
like an angry New Yorker. Like, I have never been the quintessential angry New Yorker as I was when I was nearly dead. And I pound on his window. Pound. And to this guy's credit, he rolls it down. But I figured out why. Like, I didn't, you know, he just
didn't
want...
Because you're gorgeous.
No, he did not want me to break his window. A boom, boom, boom.
You were pounding that hard?
Yeah. Oh, I was pounding
hard. For
real? Yeah.
For realsies.
So I'm screaming. I pound and I scream, "You just ran me over," which is an amazing thing to scream when you've just been run over. You wouldn't think you'd have the wherewithal to say that.
Right, right.
We went from a shove that she couldn't determine if it was a human or a car to run over by a tank.
To her, so now having the wherewithal.
Wherewithal
to get up from being run over.
Right.
To get up from being dead.
Not even drop my champagne. He rolls down his window and he is apologizing profusely. "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." Now, on one hand, while he's saying "I'm so sorry," I'm like, good for him, because now I'm not going to take my free hand, even though it's not even my good hand, to punch him in the face. So I let him live for that. But I'm like, how did he, if he's apologizing, like, he knows he ran me over, how did he not know he was running me over? Like, how could you not see me? Anyway. So now, instead of me being all peace and love, like, I can imagine there are some people in my life that probably would have been all peace and love, like Carol, for one, probably would have been all peace and love. Not you, Frank and Barry. You wouldn't have been all peace, but you wouldn't have been mean either. Our friend Deborah Hamlin.
I know one term that would have come out of your mouth because it's one of your favorites, but we can't.
Yeah,
say
yeah. It begins with an M, ends with an R.
Yep.
Oh, well, that's pretty close to what came out of my mouth.
And it would sound, mine would sound sarcastic. Yours would sound angry.
Because it was. So he's apologizing, apologizing, apologizing. When I got sick of hearing him say, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry," I retorted with left hand, my good hand, not the hand that was run over, hand in the air. And I punctuate my "you ran me over" with, "What the F?" And then I didn't stick around for an answer. I didn't stick around for another "I'm so sorry." I turned on my heels, flipped my fabulous hair, and I crossed the street. And I wasn't even like, if anybody had come at me at that moment, looked at me crooked, stepped on a toe,
you would have run him right over like a linebacker.
I would have taken all my champagne and hurled it upside their head. I would have, because I was in that kind of mood. That's what happens when you get run over and you nearly die.
Yes.
It really sours your mood. Like, a lot of other people would be like, "Oh, thank God I got a second chance at life. I'm going to be such a better person." I was like, take that. I was mad.
Now, I'm sorry, but you know the first thing I think of is when you've raised your hand, you've screamed, "What the?"
Yep.
And then you turn around all hard-edged, you do that fabulous hair flip, and you walk across the street. The first thing I thought of is you hitting some sort of like slick puddle and falling right on your ass.
Yep.
Oh.
Now, that would have been funny.
If that had happened, I would have slashed that guy's tires.
That would have been a classic Jonas Spillbore, though. That kind of thing happens to you.
Oh, God, that would have been hard. Oh, you know what? Turning on my heels, flipping my hair, and then getting really creamed by a car going 50 miles an hour.
So you have law enforcement relatives, do you not?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And I remember one time, not at band camp, that you were walking to meet Jeannie Kelly and I at a rooftop bar in Manhattan, and you shouted at a cabbie, right? I don't remember the exact issue. Cut you off or something. And your, was it your uncle? Is it your uncle, police officer?
Yes.
Told you to be cautious with that kind of thing. So I wonder what your uncle would think of the fact of you pounding on the window of a stranger who just brushed you and screaming at them about the safety of and wisdom of that.
First of all, the cabbie who I shouted at on the way to meet you and our good friend Jeannie Kelly flipped me the bird.
Oh, the nerve.
Yeah, that was nervy. But he didn't run me over. I think when you are in a near-death experience, you cannot be held accountable for your reactions because, like I said, you guys don't know. I could now write a book. You know, who's the lady who wrote the book about, you know, she died and then...
Anita Morjani.
Yes,
Dying her. To Be Me.
Right, okay. Dying to Be Her. I could now write a book as well to discuss what happens when you suffer that kind of very brief near-death experience on your way to unload your champagne with your hair looking fabu. All right? Now, it doesn't have to be a novel-length book. It could be a shorter book.
Yeah,
but
I
do.
Yeah,
I'm
thinking.
Think there's a market for it.
I'm thinking there's a. There could be a market for that paragraph. There could.
You're so, giving her the credit of a whole paragraph, Frankenberry.
I am. And you know what? I'll even start it for you with the two lines and the P.
Oh, the yes, fancy
we'll make
paragraph.
Yes, we'll make it official.
Mark.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Well, we're glad that you're still alive.
I, for one, Jonna, am glad that you were able to spring back from the clutches of death.
Thank you.
And you were able to make a point to the poor guy in the SUV.
And that you didn't have two near-death experiences of getting a gun put in your face right after getting brushed. Hit.
I was not run over. Thank you. I just gave it to you.
You're welcome.
She amended.
You know, I was not concerned for my personal safety once my personal safety had been extremely compromised. All right? It was a dark and stormy night. So I'm going to start it.
Well, we're glad you're okay.
And I'm going to get Mira Norjami to give me a little blurb. Mira.
Anita.
Anita.
Morjani.
Morjani.
What you need to do with this story is you need to really fictionalize it, and you need to have something else happen when he opens the window.
Wait a minute. Are you encouraging her to fictionalize and expand on this experience,
Frankenberry? Well, she has already expanded on the fiction of being dead, so we might as well allow her to expand even more on the fiction of what this guy could have been doing.
Oh, wait, I got it.
So when he slides down the window, you find out that he's actually some sort
Bradley
of international
Cooper.
Spy.
Bradley Cooper.
He's in the middle of some sort of heist. He's the driver. Wouldn't that be cool if he was actually the driver? There was a bank right there. He's driving the three guys that are inside in pig masks robbing the bank. Uh-huh. You come over because he's almost run you over, and you yell at him. He grabs you and throws you in the back of the car while these three guys are coming out with the money. And then, boom, the whole brand new storyline.
Yep, yeah, then they really like you because you got gumption.
Right.
I just watched The Hollywood.
And champagne.
And champagne.
So they agree to split the take with you.
And they find out that you're a lawyer. So they've got this backup in case things go awry.
Oh, I see it.
Oh. And then I stab them all in the neck with my nail file from the inside of my coat pocket. And I take all of the money
and turn them in. Right. And you receive a commendation from the mayor of New York City and the police commissioner.
And as I'm
eyes are sparkling right now.
As I'm getting my key to the city, Bradley Cooper comes walking by and he's like, "Who is that angel?" And I say to him, "I know I was nearly an angel because I was run over." And then he's like, "Let's sit and chat about it over a plate of spaghetti at Orzo." And I'm like, "All right, I suppose I have a little bit of time." And then we go to Orzo and we order the pasta. And then while there, he falls out of love with whoever he's in love with, falls in love with me. And it's all because I nearly died getting run over. And then when I show up on Oprah's couch, I get to tell this story and people be like, "Wow. You have such a life.
And,
I think she's got more than a paragraph now.
Yeah, and then you find out that he's optioned the rights to the movie. And he's going to allow
me.
He's going to allow you to star in it because you've been putting that out there for a couple of years now.
Right, and he's going to be the driver.
We're all coming together.
And the driver's the only one that you don't stab in the neck because you feel bad because he's just the driver. He didn't actually wear the pig mask and hold the shotguns.
Oh,
there you go.
God.
Genesis of another million-dollar idea. In this case, a major motion picture.
And another example of triumph happening from tragedy.
Do you remember, it was just a couple of weeks ago, Frank and Barry, that I suggested we have a regular segment on this show where we just give her a simple scenario and create a whole story around it? It's just coming to fruition.
It is.
But you should get creative rights to that whole story. You really made a nice contribution to the direction of that.
Well, I appreciate
that. Oh, you want to be
that.
An EP? You want to be an executive producer?
Okay, sure. That's fine. I'll take that title. The only title I've ever had up to this point in my life is Grip. So that's definitely that's a step up.
Fortunately, or unfortunately, I suppose if it were like a Bentley that ran me over, I'd be like, oh, my neck. But that didn't happen because I was so angry and my adrenaline was pumping.
Oh, you could have blamed it on the broken toe on...
Oh, dang. Yeah. Broken toe. That would get me at least like $500.
Depending on which toe. Who are we talking to today?
Yeah.
Who do we got today?
Anyway.
Oh, wait. Actually, I know who we've got today because you sent an email.
I did send you an email.
Dr. Venus.
So we have, yeah. So secretly, Frankenberry is secretly in love with Dr. V.
She hot?
She's very, very pretty. Yes, she's actually gorgeous. So we are going to be talking to you in a few minutes when we come back from the break. Dr. Venus Nicolino. She goes by Dr. V for short. And she's a little bit of a Bravo celebrity. And she's also the author of a book called Bad Advice. And we're going to have to tell her. And I love... She has a potty mouth like us. Like, it's part of her thing, which I absolutely positively love. And I know you do, too. But I don't know if I told her that we are on terrestrial radio and that we're not
to
allowed
sure she knows
to say that. But anyway, so wait, I want to give you the exact title of the book because it's an awesome title. Just hold on a second. Just hold on because, you know, ever since my accident.
I know, you're a little flustered. Brain's a little scrambled.
Ever since my accident. Okay, wait a minute. It's called... Okay. Oh, yeah. Here we go. It's called Bad Advice, How to Survive and Thrive in an Age of BS, which was a number one on the LA Times bestseller list, among other things. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Dr. V. I want to talk to her a little bit about being a reality star. And of course, we're going to talk about her book, Bad Advice, when we come back from the break.
That sounds good. You've got Happy Hour here on this Sunday morning on K104 with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And we've got our guest on the way. Stick with us.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And we're back again on this Sunday morning here with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and myself. And it's time now to get to our guest. And we have with us Dr. V and her brand new book.
Oh, so wait a minute. I got to tell you a little bit about Dr. V before we start talking about that.
You're gushing.
I know. Well, wait, but and I'm going to out Frankenberry.
Out Frankenberry? You're going to out
yourself.
I'm going to out Frankenberry.
It's not a closet thing, by the way,
right,
Doc, so just to give you an idea.
So, on the line with us, we have Dr. Venus Nicolino, best known as Dr. V. She's a doctor of clinical psychology, renowned relationship expert, and the host of WeTV's Marriage Bootcamp. Plus, and we're going to be talking about this today, she's the author of the critically acclaimed book, Bad Advice, How to Survive and Thrive in an Age of BS, which landed number one on the LA Times bestseller list, top 50 Nash bestsellers list by USA Today, and top 5 books to change your life by the New York Post. And I got to tell you guys, I finished the audio version. Carol, I absolutely know you will love this book.
Does she curse throughout?
No, but that's just her. Like, it's not even...
She's
my
sister from another mister.
It's so great, and it's like so edgy and commonsensical advice presented in an awesome way. So, without further ado, on the line we have Dr. V. Welcome to Happy Hour.
Wow. I got to tell you, I need to take you everywhere I go for this opening. just that was my introduction wherever I am. Thank you so much.
Up for it.
That's right.
Where are you located? Oh, you're in L.A.?
Yeah, she's
in
L.A.
Yeah, I'm in L.A.
You just have to make sure that when you bring her along with you, Doc, that you carry a little bit of a soapbox.
Oh, okay, please.
She's a little short, and she likes soapboxes anyway, so it works on two levels.
She's always in heels.
Wow. We're going to be great friends. I'm short and soapboxy myself.
So I got it. I have to just out Frankenberry real quick before we go on.
This
show works, Dr. B, is, you know, Carol and I will figure out who we want as guests, and then we relentlessly go after them like I did with you. And then
AKA stalk.
And then we will send some information to Frankenberry because he's our producer. So I send your information over to Frankenberry per usual, and I get here today, and he's like, wow, that Dr. V. She's not good looking or nothing. Oh, my God. He's like, I could never be her patient because I spent the entire time fantasizing about her.
I think I have a girl crush.
And I'm like, So anyway, Dr. V is gorgeous.
Yeah, Doc, I think there's got to be some sort of ethical thing there where, I'm laying on the couch and the only thing I'm talking about is thinking about you at home. So none of my real issues would ever come up.
Dr. V, do you like cats?
Frankenberry has quite a few. But you know what, Dr. B? I bet you, and he's being genuine. I bet you that happens to you a lot. Do you still actually practice?
I do. And I see a lot of teenagers, and I see a lot of teenage girls who really appreciate maybe someone with a little bit of style or, it's not your typical...
Spectacle-wearing.
You wear glasses. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm not like a suit wearer or anything like that. So I think that they appreciated that. That being said, part of the therapeutic process is about, we call it transference, that happens with on the other side of the couch, where people will project onto you all their hopes and their dreams and even their sexual desires. And even if it's about you, that is a place of incredible discovery. So it has been used as a tool, as a therapeutic tool, if done correctly.
Sure.
So Frankenberry, I got you. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
let's start with your mother, Steve, and then we'll go from there.
All right.
Exactly.
So now that we got that out of the way, this is such a thrill for me because one of the things that I tease Frankenberry and Carol about is that I'm a lawyer. I've been a lawyer for a long time, but my goal in life is to basically be a real housewife, and that,
she thinks that involves going on vacation and drinking alcohol,
right? Because that's all I want to do. I just want to wake up in the morning, work out, drink mimosas, and talk with my friends. That's all I want to do. And so can you give us just a little inside scoop, like what is it like, because you're a reality star. I mean, you're on a couple of Bravo shows. Is it as sexy as it looks, or is it like a total pain in the butt to have the cameras in your face 24/7? Like, what's the best part about being on a reality show?
Burst her bubble.
Yeah.
Do it.
You know, I can only speak for my own experience, and when I am really engaged in the process, and because I'm actually doing something, I'm listening, I'm actively listening, I'm listening for emotions, listening for things that are unsaid, and things that are said, I feel like the cameras fall away from me.
I believe that,
because I have to be so in tune, and I'm actually doing something. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm working, and so I think also being in front of the cameras for so long, I mean, 8 seasons on Marriage Bootcamp, on and off, Bravo, jumping all over to their different television shows. I've done it for so long that it almost feels like it's not there for me. Now, I know a lot of other people where that is not true. When the cameras turn on, they're a different person. And that's a talent. I really want to tell you, it's a talent. Like, the camera goes on, boom, you're different. So I don't change, and maybe I should. I'm just the same. But that's my experience.
So what you see is what you get when the cameras are rolling.
I hope so. I don't think that I hide behind I think I'm just myself. Now, again, a lot of people are not like that. And I've seen that, too, like, within our, like, the marriage boot camp house, where the cameras go on. You know, sometimes people just come to life in all new kinds of ways.
Oh,
new
yeah.
issues are presented. We have different problems. I'm like, yeah. wow, we got to shut these cameras off.
You know, and I say that to myself all the time. Like, sometimes I watch Bravo when I'm just relaxing. Like, and Carol likes this show too, Below Deck, right? And I always imagine, like, if I was on this show, all these people are hooking up with each other and the cameras are on, I'd be like, oh, that's a little much for me.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and, but that's okay. That's not the show that I aspire to be on. I aspire to be a Real Housewife. So anyway, I absolutely loved your book.
Oh,
and can you tell us? Oh, no, you're gonna really like it. Can you just, so how was this book born? Because I love how you take everyday principles that we all seem to ingrained in us, and you sort of turn them upside down in your own unique, awesome style. So how was that book born?
So I got tired of hearing these. Sort of these perceived lines of wisdom, and they would be repeated back to me in the therapeutic environment. So, you know, for example, I would have someone, you know, on the couch, and they would be saying, you know, my husband forgot my birthday, and but expectations lead to disappointment. I shouldn't be expecting that. You absolutely should. Not only are your expectations, not only are they in. They're instilled in us, in our DNA. You absolutely should have expectations because they guide you to your greatest potential self. So this idea of, like, expectations lead to disappointment, they might, but they also lead you to something awesome. And you That's can't true. Help having expectations biologically and scientifically. So what I wanted to do was really break down these pieces of BS and really see the science behind it. Really talk about our biology. Can we help feeling these things? And it was really exciting because I got to talk to some of the most, you know, renowned psychologists and scientists in our field. So I think that when we're living by a theory, and let's say that theory is wrong. So, for example, we once thought the Earth was flat. Mm-hmm. And we revolved our life around a flat earth.
Mm-hmm.
We once believed that giving lobotomies was helpful. We once believed that bloodletting cured illnesses. So if we live by these theories that are not true, how does that affect our everyday lives? So that was really the inspiration behind this book and collecting all of these different things, like just be yourself. You can't love anyone until you love yourself. You know, live each day like it was your last. Nobody can help you feel bad without your permission. All this junk that, by the way, gets more and more play because of social media. You know, you'll see those words behind, you know, a solitary lighthouse with a bird.
Frank Perry loves you more now.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
So we're passing this stuff on more and more. So that was really the inspiration to this book and many more to come. Because now that my eyes are open to it now, it's like, ooh, that's terrible advice.
And that's what I was going to say, because the book has, I think it's like, 8 maybe altogether of these, you know, common principles that you turn upside down. And when I was done with the book, I said to myself, dang, she could do even more. Like, you know, they just start coming, which would be great. And it's so funny that you say that, because, like, the other day at the office, actually, I was having a conversation with one of the associates who works for me. This was just so, and I felt like a therapist in the moment. And she recently got married, and it was a small wedding, and it was kind of like private, just like her family she invited, which was fine. It was a second wedding, so that was fine, and she's all happy and good. And she sits down in my office, and she proceeds to tell me how her father didn't go to the wedding, and neither did her sister. Now, I know that they're kind of close, at least I thought so. So I started asking her questions about it, and it she just started, she broke down and started crying. Like, it was not okay with her that her father and her sister didn't go to the wedding, but for the last 2 months since she got married, she's been acting like it's been okay. And it was nice to get her to, you know, finally say, wait a minute. No, it's not okay. Their excuses were bull crap, and I'm not good with it. That's when, you know.
So did you proceed to drink the night away? Like, what happened?
No, so I told her. I said to her, you know, and she started crying at the office, which I'm sure, you know, especially women don't like to do, but I am perfectly okay. If you're upset, just bawl. No matter where you are, I'm like, okay, I personally wouldn't do it, but I'm okay if other people do it. But, you know, I told her, like, you should not, that she should confront this, because whatever their excuse is, if it hurt her feelings, she's got to be able to advocate for herself. As lawyers, we advocate for thousands of clients a year. Now she's got to advocate for herself. And I think that's kind of at the point where she started to cry, and I think she appreciated that.
Yes. I mean, absolutely.
But you know, and that goes along with some of these, like, expectations lead to disappointment, which actually, her expectations kind of did lead to disappointment, because she expected her parents or her father to be at her wedding, and nobody can make you feel bad without your permission. Well, she felt pretty damn bad, and rightfully so.
I mean, what was the last time? What was the last time you gave someone permission to make you feel bad?
Yeah, never.
I mean, that would imply that you also have to give permission for people to help you feel good. So, all day long, we're helping people feel things. That's what humans do. Like, in that moment with your friend in her wedding dress and crying, or in the office, you and her were exchanging all kinds of human chemicals that humans exchange. And when we deny our emotions, like your friend, when we deny it, that's when we get ourselves in trouble. It's when we're able to really say, yes, it's when we're able to say, you know, this feels bad. Let me figure out what to do with that very important biological message that my body and my mind is sending me. Because that's what feelings are. They're messages that something, a need is being unmet.
Yep. Dr. Yeah. V, I have to tell you something. I've talked about this openly with my two good friends here in the studio on air multiple times, that I took the belief of the power of positive thinking to an extreme and to a fault, which years ago I would never think is possible. But I covered up my genuine emotions. I not only covered them up, I judged them. So you have the bad emotion to begin with. Then you think, oh, I shouldn't have it, and it's bad that I have it. So then you actually amplify it and prolong it. And I have learned through much trial and error and pain, and which is good, because I have learned, and now I communicate what I've learned, that we are so much better off not fighting against a genuine human emotion, even if you think it's a quote-unquote bad one, because it communicates with you, it educates you, it's there to serve you if you don't fear it and you listen to it.
It's a biological message, and when we parrot self-helpy nonsense in the mirror, this kind of positive thinking, and if we don't believe it, research has found that it actually does the opposite. It reinforces.
I agree.
The lower self-esteem that you're feeling. So this idea that we can talk our way out of our emotions is just BS. I'm trying so hard not to curse.
No, Doc, I completely agree with you, because, I mean, you know, if you can go through these things, like you said, you're standing in front of the mirror and you're repeating these, you know, these positive affirmations, and then the next day when none of these affirmations freaking work, it makes it just worse.
And then you feel like
Exactly. Like, if you're sitting in front of the mirror and you're like, I'm beautiful, and you don't believe you're beautiful, you're reinforcing the belief that you are not beautiful.
Right.
So, and I, you know, during the research of this book, that just fascinated me, because, again, the bad advice of, you know, positive thinking, you know, tell yourself kind thoughts, and all of that is true. But if you're denying what is underneath that, it's problematic.
Amen. Because it is helpful, and we do have the power to raise awareness of what we're thinking and what we're saying and the direction that our thoughts go. And so the power of positive thinking is helpful once you allow yourself permission and space to experience the genuine feelings that you feel.
Exactly. Because sometimes the negative feelings can be just as helpful and just as powerful in finding your joy, in finding your happiness. And the bottom line is, look, nobody goes to the self-help section to hear negative things about themselves. Nobody. They go to the self-help section to hear positive things about themselves. Right. But how other people experience you is also very important, because sometimes it's those negative things that would really help you if you could change and if you could let in. So this idea of, like, you know, positive and negative emotions, it just doesn't fly. They're all emotions and they're all equally important.
Love it.
One of my favorite chapters in the book is the bad advice that honesty is the best policy. And not because I am a liar, but because I don't think in my life I have ever told anybody, yes, your ass looks fat in those jeans, or, you know, or no, your bangs are not too short. Like, I would never, ever, I just don't do that. If I think I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings, I just don't say it.
Right. And this idea that honesty is the best policy, while it might be the best policy, it's not the truth. It's not the real policy. On average, humans lie 52 times a day. And by the way, it's those lies that keep the fabric of society untattered. Like, if you were to be like, look, you just look so fat. Those bangs are awful. I mean, it's the kindness. It's a way to be kind to other people. Like, I don't go to my grandmother and I'm like, listen, you get me another fugly sweater and we're done. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh my God, thank you, I love it. Because that's what keeps human bonds moving. So this idea of honesty is the best policy, and I'll tell you, one of my biggest pet peeves is I cannot stand when people hide behind the quote-unquote truth and really being mean. Because the difference between truth and being mean is a mile wide. It's did you see what I'm saying? When people are like, oh, I'm just being truthful. No, you're not.
Right.
You're being mean.
You're being
mean.
Hurtful. Yeah. So kindness takes precedence.
And using that as an excuse.
And care for how what you're about to say is going to affect the person you're communicating with.
Right. And it depends also if the truth is necessary at that moment, too.
Exactly.
A lot of times it's not even necessary and they just do it on purpose. So they have the fallback of saying, I'm just telling you the truth.
Well, the idea that trust can be worth more than the truth. The trust that you have in that relationship is worth more than your personal truth. And so people don't really think of it that way. That the trust I have with my colleagues and my friends, and that will be ruined if I say the actual truth. You know what I mean? Like, you look fat in those jeans.
Right.
Did I ever tell you I don't think you're attractive? You see what I'm saying? Like, trust is worth, sometimes worth more than the truth.
Yeah, and you know what, Doc? I think one of the reasons I'm a good friend to everybody is I say the things
Frank
for
and Barry,
I say the things I say the things for them that they may be thinking, and I just get it out of the way. So before they can say it, I'll say, yes, it does look like I'm pregnant right now with this little steroid baby I got going on.
That's true, you do.
All right, so I'll beat you to the punch. Yes, I have a stupid ass last name. Okay, go ahead, get the giggles out now, and then boom, we're all set.
Well, that is very appealing because it's very self-deprecating. It's self-deprecation humor. And that's always, when you feel that someone has a sense of humility, it's just very attractive. So
I agree.
Doing it, Frank and Barry?
It is. So, all right. I don't want to give away too much of the book because I want people to buy it, you know, with and I'm so looking forward to a second book. But what I thought we could do, Dr. V, since you are a Bravo person and since we are big fans of Andy Cohen, you know how he does a Plead the Fifth segment on his Watch What Happens
Live? Yeah, of course.
All right. So I've changed that a little bit and I'm calling our segment Plead the Filth. But it's not. But there's nothing dirty about this. So we're just going to ask you a couple of fun questions. And you really can't plead the fifth because there's nothing here that's bad. Okay. First question is, who is your hall pass?
Ooh. Mm. Who is my hall pass? Who is my hall pass?
Mine's Bradley Cooper. You could have the same hall pass. It's okay.
No, there was, I forget his name. It's, and this is a terrible thing if it's going to be my hall pass.
That tends to be kind of the first thing. That's top of the list.
Eric Bana. That's right. Eric Bana.
Now, who's he?
Okay. He was on,
the Hulk.
He was like the Hulk.
Oh.
Nice. Unexpected, right? Unexpected.
Nice. Wow. I like that. Okay.
It's like the hot tub
totally
list.
Cute.
All right. So here's another one. Okay. You're on a deserted island, and you can choose one and only one person to keep you company for a whole month, living or dead. And it can't be, like, obvious, like your husband or children. So, like, if you could just talk to one person for an entire, like, you're stuck with that person for a whole month, conversing, living or dead, who would that be?
I want to say Madonna.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
she's
I like
too.
That one.
Madonna.
She's the first person that's happened to my mind.
Wow. She, I thought of either her, Lucille Ball, or Tom Hanks, just because, I don't know.
Because he's been on an island stranded. He's got experience.
Yeah, right.
Wilson! He'll get it.
That's so funny. That's so funny.
Oh,
all right.
My God.
What is your favorite quote?
My favorite quote? What is my favorite quote?
I know, right?
That's I don't think I have one.
I'll give you
something from her book.
I'll give you my favorite quote is from Madonna, incidentally, and she and I don't even know if she made it up, but it was from. She said, "When you want something bad enough, the whole world conspires to help you get it." I've always loved that.
That's
quote.
That's attributed to Madonna.
She said, "I don't know if she made it up, but she said it out loud one time." Dr. V, there's a quote of yours. I was listening to a podcast that you did with Brandy Glanville, and you had a quote that I love. I'll read it to you so you can adopt it as your own favorite quote since you said it.
So you can answer this question when asked again?
Yes. And I just have to clean it up a little bit. So, and you said, once you realize you don't know crap, you are the smartest person in the room. And I couldn't agree with that more. That really
great. Right? It's true.
If you had, just two more. If you had a superpower, what would it be?
To be invisible. I play this game with my kids. It's the only reason why I have an answer for that. however, I want to go back to the quote. It actually just came to me.
Okay.
I love, and I don't know who said this, whatever you are seeking is seeking you too.
Oh, yes.
That, you know what? And that belongs on a picture of a lighthouse with a seagull, though. That really does.
I mean, when you think about, like, if I knew that in my early 20s, that I wanted me to.
Oh, my gosh.
Imagine, like, if you really believe that, imagine what you might have done differently or how you might have felt differently. So that's one of my favorite all times.
I love it.
You know?
I couldn't agree more. And the last one, and this is a gimme. Red, white, rosé, or sparkling?
Red, white. I'm going to say rosé all day.
Rosé all day. I think I have a shirt that says that.
I think wine is sparkling. Carol, what's yours? Red, white, rosé, or sparkling?
Mostly red.
Mostly red, yeah. Frankenberry.
Yeah, I mean, champagne kind of gives me a headache, you know?
Yeah. See, and it also depends on the season and what's going on. But yeah, I think I'm a sparkling girl. I don't know.
Yeah.
You just sparkle wherever you go.
I'm a Busch Light 364, so we're good.
See, there it goes. All right.
Dr. V, this has been...
I'm a kind of girl.
You're so much fun. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
So much fun. I love you guys. Thank you for having me.
Before you go, how can people... So people can buy the book on Amazon. We know that.
Read the title again.
Oh, yes. And the title is Bad Advice, How to Survive and Thrive in an Age of BS. I highly recommend it. Also, your website is www.talk2drv.com. That's right? Talk2drv.com.
Yep, that's right.
And people can find you at the Marriage on TV, on WeTV at Marriage Bootcamp Family Edition on Friday nights at 10 or 9 Central. And you are just fabulous. And you're on a ton of podcasts. I caught you on Jeff Lewis's show. So you really are all over. Dr. V, it has been such a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, ladies. Bye, Frank and Mary.
Take care of yourself. Thanks for joining us today. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol, and we will be right back. We've got our third segment still to come here. You're listening to K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And it's Happy Hour here one more time on this Sunday morning. Good morning to you with John Spilbor and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
Well, I like Dr. V. That was a very
love
fun
her.
Segment.
So great.
For anybody,
so smart.
Yeah. And for anybody
funny.
Out there who may have missed that segment. Maybe you're just tuning in right now. Don't worry. In the middle of the week, you can go to k104online.com/happy hour, and you will be able to find the show. And that was definitely a fun interview, a fun segment.
I want to be her best friend. She's famous. She's beautiful. She's brilliant. Well, I already have you.
Oh, there you go. You can't have two best friends that are exactly alike.
I already said the same thing earlier. I said, oh, but Jana, she's got nothing on you.
No, she was super cool. I definitely want to read her book.
The book is really good. And there is definitely room for more books in that genre. But, all right, so...
What we were talking about in our first segment, we were joking around about Jana and her near-death experience down in the city.
It was no joke.
Getting run over by an SUV, but then we turned it into a story about a bank robbery and meeting Bradley Cooper. And
sure did. Going mm-hmm. Filming a movie in her living room. Mm-hmm.
So if that story actually came true, and you had the ability or you needed to then break up with the other half, because, well, you've got this whole story.
Oh,
do you know that you could go to a website and hire somebody to record a video to say, ta-ta?
Hire somebody famous?
Yeah, hire somebody famous.
I think that is absolutely terrible.
I know. It is awful, isn't it?
It is a horrible idea.
And why? Why would anybody want to do that?
Well, what if you... I mean, look, there are people... Not breaking up with people, but I don't like to fire people. I suppose if I could hire like a Bozo the Clown to make it happy, like da 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 da, you're out of here. Da 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 da, clean your desk. Da 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 da. Maybe I would do that.
Da da da, like that New York Lottery guy.
No, I mean people don't like that. Some people don't. I get that, but breaking up with somebody is not something that you can assign to someone else.
Because it makes it even worse for the receiver of the message. You had to embarrass me and involve another person in this.
Although in this day and age, people ghost each other to break up, and that's even... I'd rather have a celebrity who I don't know break up with me on behalf of my boyfriend than text somebody and don't get a text back for 4 years. Like, that's, I suppose. But who's doing that? Well, what kind of celebrity would actually agree to do something like that?
Well, the story itself was based around a woman named Cheyenne who got Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray to break up with her long-distance relationship. And it's nothing mean. He just basically says, Cheyenne wants to tell you the long distance thing isn't working anymore. And she just wants to be friends now.
Then you would think it was a joke.
I know. You might.
I would.
But what's funny is the stable of folks that are available at this website, it's kind of like a, what's the word I'm looking for? There's levels because it's all based on cost.
All right, so who's expensive?
So, like, expensive is the most interesting man in the world. It's $250.
I love him.
I love him.
But if you wanted, you could get Debbie Gibson for $100.
Debbie Gibson?
Yeah, you could get Debbie Gibson. Debbie Gibson's on here. Also,
is this strictly just a breakup site, or is it Cameo?
I don't always break up with people, but when I do, I get paid for it.
I think you could probably have it be a message for anything in particular. This just happened to be a breakup story. So you're a big fan of Bravo. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy?
Yeah.
Show?
Yeah.
Carson Kressley, mm-hmm. He's only $65.
Well, hang on. If you're on Cameo, I actually... My much younger betrothed for my last birthday hired Sonia Morgan from Real mm-hmm. Housewives of New York to wish me a happy birthday. And I think the only thing she didn't say on the whole message was happy birthday. The rest of everything that he told her to say, she said, except for that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So Cameo is pretty popular.
This is me. I mean, I'm inside Carol's bubble in some of this stuff, you know, so I didn't know that this would be, you know, that this was something that was happening right now. But
and I went on Cameo and I hired Bethany Frankel
to give
a shout out to all of our little group. Our little meatball group.
And you worked it in that she congratulated me on my book, Hello Beautiful.
Yep.
And everybody
that was
on this site.
Very cool.
And I find it funny. Everybody on this site is, you know, basically round numbers. You know, Brett Favre, he's expensive. He's $500, by the way. But Andy Dick, he's $99. So it's a bargain. He's not $100 like some of the other $100 B-list celebrities. He's $99.
All right, so I got a new goal. So I have the goal that I want to be made fun of on SNL.
Yeah.
Right? My second goal is I want to be a celebrity on Cameo that people would pay money to have me send a nice message, not a breakup message.
So how do you join?
But I want to
hire
you. No, but I want my price tag to be like no less than Well, Andy Dick is 99.
99.
I want to be 100.
Okay, well, there you go.
I want to cost more than
Andy. And I've just
Dick.
Discovered how much you paid for Bethany Frankel because I just found her.
How much is she on there?
$275.
Yeah, about that.
About that. I just feel bad for Ryan Cabrera, though.
Who's that?
One hit wonder, Ryan Cabrera. He did have that one
hit
song.
You need to be on Cameo.
He's only $40.
Maybe I could get on just like 25 and test the waters.
There you go. Why not? Jonas Billboard from Fox News, $25.
We'll hire you for your first gig. Frank and Barry and I will split it.
There you go. $12.50
each.
Oh,
big spenders. I almost died, and you're only going to spend $12.50 each?
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Billboard and Carol Pesci. Thanks again to our guest today, Dr. Venus Nicolino, and we will be back again next Sunday. We do it every week here, 7 o'clock. K104, that's right, if Jonna doesn't get killed again by another SUV in New York City.
Frankenberry?
Jonna's first world problems. Oh. All right, back again next week. Have a good one.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.